mixing words together.
Oh, right, this one is sometimes worse. I tried that with Peric.
You tried Peric also? Me?
Yes.
It's great. You mean worse. It's great. Okay. V'ashem asher haya el micha hamorashti. Yimei yosem ocha yichus kimel.
After.
Yeah, we finished almost last week.
Yeah.
Micha.
Page 1377.
Okay, Micha spoke to Yehuda, although he did address Yisrael, as the opening pasuk indicates, Asher Chazah al Shomron v'Yerushalayim, but his main audience was, Yehuda. He was quite a successful Navi. In fact, there is a point about Micha that is almost unique in all of Tanakh. There is a perek elsewhere in Tanakh dedicated to him. Chapter 26 of Yirmiyahu is dedicated to Micha. What do I mean? Yirmiyahu predicted the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in chapter 26. He had just foretold an unavoidable 70-year galus in chapter 25. And after all of this, the people said enough. And they grabbed him and they wanted to kill him. They were about to kill him. Just about, he said, just know you're killing an innocent man. God really told me to say these things. So they're about to kill him. And some sarim, some officers came ahead and said, wait, you can't kill him. Micha HaMorashti already said these things. And they stopped quoting from this book. Maybe we'll reach that, those quotes here in chapter 3. It says, Micha also spoke out these things. Did Chizkiyahu kill Micha? No. They listened to Micha. And the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed. So it behooves us to listen to Yirmiyahu. Now, if you were around at that time, what might have you, with cynicism, have answered these claims? What? You should have killed Micha too. Right? Micha was lying also. There was never going to be a Beis HaMikdash destroyed in Micha's time either. The Horaya, it wasn't. He got them to do tshuva for nothing. Right? There was never going to be any problems. Right? Luckily for Yirmiyahu, they did not say this. This Gael was a good king that listened to Micha. They took him seriously. Okay. Quite so. We'll discuss the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says, "Ancient Neviim Nibim Signon Echad." When we get there, there are some small, slight differences. The two Neviim cannot speak with the same style. Signal means when we get up to that.
Didn't Einstein say that?
He did, the prophet?
Two observers of the same event will never see exactly the same thing.
Well, he got it from the Gemara. So he doesn't just pay that. I don't know if he actually saw the Gemara, but alright, we'll hopefully get up to that because I want to move quite quickly. Shimu amim kulam hakshivi eretz mloa. He begins his book just like Yeshayahu does. Alright, he tells he starts with Lashon of Shmiya and Hakshava, but here he talks to the people directly. V'hi Hashem Elokim b'chem la'ed Hashem me'hechal kodshel. God is the witness to what I am saying here. Right? So let's go around and see what this testimony is. Richard, get us started again. Kihinei Hashem Yotzeim Kamam.
Kihinei Hashem Yotzei Im Kamo the Yarad v'Darach Al V'Mot Ya'aretz.
Okay, but one thing, right now Micha is going to read like a parak in Tehillim. In fact, almost all of the psukim, the next four or five psukim, can be found in willy-nilly, two words here, three words there, in Prakim and Tehillim, especially towards the end. We're going to see, you'll recognize it, you're going to feel it. Okay, now this is a bit anthropomorphic that God is leaving his place to come down to trample on the earth, right? It sounds, you see this Lashon in the Torah. God goes down to see what the people are doing with this tower. You're familiar with that Lashon, right? So let God leave his place. As Targum says, Me'asar beis shchintei. same targum as you're familiar with in Uvol Tzion on Baruch Kibod Hashem Mimkomo. Right? So here Hashem is leaving his makom as if though there's a makom where God is and he can depart from there somehow. Okay, but be that as it may, there's a give and take between Yeshayahu's malachim and Yecheskel's malachim. Yeshayahu says, Baruch Maloch Hova Aretz Kivodo, and then the Hofanim Bechayos HaKodesh Barash Kodol Mitznasim Lu Masrafim Lu Masam Bishabchim Vermim Baruch Kivod Hashem Mim Komo. Yeshayahu's angels in chapter 6 speak of God filling a place. Yecheskel's Nevi'im speak of God just bursting out of the place. There's no place there. Nothing can contain God. You remember that from the Tzvil of Shlomo and Malachim Aleph that we were learning. So here he says, Hashem yotzei mimkomo, Hashem bursts out of me'asar beis shechintei. Of course, Targum says mitgalei. He just appears. God takes up all space in the universe. He just appears to us. Okay, and what happens when he does this, Moshe? Pasuk Dalet?
V'namasu ha'arim tachtav v'hamakim yisbakau kadonag m'nei ha'esh kamayim m'garim v'morad.
Okay, this is heavy stuff. Alright, these are all two words here and there from Sefer Tehillim. Okay, like wax melting before fire, like mountains that are split and valleys that are split in two. These are the other Nevi'im that do this also. Zechariah talks this way. But Micha is quite eloquent.
Is the valleys actually the same earthquake?
I'm not sure. Micha is long after the earthquake, Stanley, so I doubt it. The earthquake that almost, if you were here last week, you would have been chilled by it. Almost refers many times throughout his book to an earthquake, which will force the waters of the oceans to envelop the lands and to flood people and things like that. So here he speaks of kamayim mugarim b'morad. Morad is Targum says modron. Actually, it means darom. Morad, I mean, it's the word spelled backwards. Hebrew does this sometimes. Remember, I told you keves kesev, simla salma. Right here, morad is darom, or as Targum says, Modron. Water that flows down.
Well, I think it's just a slope.
Yeah. In a down. The Rome itself. Going down. Good. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Do we carry
this? Sure. This is Abu Pesha, Yaakov, Alkol, Zot, Ukrat, Taos. Beis Israel, Mi Pasha, Yaakov, Paolo, Shamron, Mi Bamot, Yehuda, Halo, Yerushalayim.
Now, Micha is breaking new ground here. You see, Amos spoke against Israel and had a few harsh words for Yehuda. But Micha is establishing immediately in the beginning of his book that these terrible predictions that I'm making comes not only because of the guilt of Shomron, but because of the guilt of Yerushalayim. Now you have to remember, let's go back to our introduction here. Who's the king of Yehuda at this time? It says Yotam, Ochaz, Yechizkiah. Okay, a little background on these three kings. You see, this is how we know that Yeshayahu and Amos, and certainly Hoshea, are before Micha, because those three prophets make reference to an earlier king. Okay? Those prophets make a reference to Uzziahu. Uzziahu is not here, but Micha, because Micha's after those. Okay, but Yotam, I'm sorry?
You say it's a different king. How do you know it's actually earlier?
No, Micha is later, because, Uzziah is Yotam's father. Right? Yotam is very interesting, Maimar Chazal, regarding Yotam. He is the only king, David, Shlomo, and Yoshiahu included, and Chizkiel included, of whom the Bible never says he did anything wrong at all. There's even a Maimon Chazal, Rashi brings it down in Nuachim, that Yotam is, you can say, therefore, was the most righteous king in terms of points. In other words, he didn't lose any points. But you can be, I assume Moshe was more righteous than he was. It's just that Moshe, as a result of doing more things, had some slip-ups. Anyway, Let's go, Tom. Ahaz was terrible. Ahaz was just, how you can have such a terrible king whose father was so righteous and his son was so righteous. It's hard to fathom, but Ahaz was awful. He cleared out, get this, he cleared out the base of Mikdash, sent architects to Aram, right? And his Kohen Gadol to Aram to make plans of the Aramean temple, and he made our base of Mikdash look like that.
Right.
I'm not telling you Medrash now, that's what's written in Tanakh. Right?
I think some archaeologists even discovered things in Iran that look like things in place on Mikdash.
Okay, interesting.
Maybe that was from Kulam somewhere.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know, but these things are well attested to in our Tanakh. Okay, so let's go back to our pasuk, please. Well, v'shamti shamron le'i hasadeh lemata ekarem. Don't be scared by these difficult words. E is actually that prophecy that was quoted from Micha in Yirmiyahu uses this word. Iim is heaps. Heaps. They'll make heaps out of shamron. Mata ekarem means a plowed vineyard. V'garti lagai avaneh v'sodeha agaleh. Now, it means I will uproot, I'll make like it's plowed, like the whole ground is ripped up with all the roots, whatever takes root. Now, remember at the end of Maseches Makos, Rabbi Akiva and his friends are walking on Har Habayis? Right? Remember? Mm-hmm. And they're all crying over what they see, and he's laughing. Right? So the Nevuos that he quotes two Nevi'im, Uriah and Zechariah, right? And that's because the two of them are found together in a pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's actually in this pamphlet. When we get up to Perikim, we'll look at it. The Navi is not Uriah. The Navi is Micha. Why at the end of Makos it refers to Uriah is a separate issue. We're going to have to learn. But the negative Nevuah of Yerushalayim being in heaps and plowed to the ground is this Nevuah from Micha. Again, Rashi at the end of Maseches Makos. Without that Rashi, we couldn't understand what the Gemara is talking about. Rashi asked the same question. This is not an Uriah Nevuah, it's a Micha Nevuah. So why does the Gemara refer to Uriah? So we'll have to learn that at the time. So you see, Micha does not mince any words. The very beginning of his Sefer, he says these things that they wanted to kill Yirmiyahu for. Right? The Chop Shilel, Yukatu, all her graven images will be Katu, means to be koseis, ground down. The Chol Eshnaneho Yisorfu Ba'esh. Snaneho is the hire of a harlot. The cholatzabel osim shmama, and will put all of her idols to destruction. Kimi esnan zona kibatsa vad esnan zona yeshuvu. This pasuk, like what we saw in Hosea especially, indicates that what we know from the ancient world very well, especially from Sefer Hosea, is that the Avodah Zarah of the Goyim was replete with snus. Yodim ha'yu Yisrael shein mamish b'Avodah Zarah, as Marim from Hedrin of Samach Gimel says, Ella hatirem gili arayis b'farhesya. The Avodah Zarah was just an opportunity for them to have open gili arayos for free, for everybody. Just come to the temple and you'll have whatever you want. Right? So this is how they brought them in. And it's more likely that this debauchery is going to make its way into our practices, then our Torah is going to make it way into their practices. That's why Hashem told us to be rid of this, Sefer Yehoshua and Shoftim. Okay, so let's move on to Chespidah. Alzos Espedah.
Alzos Espedah, the Eliloch El
Chosholom.
The or Rome F Seth Mis Page Katanim, the A.
No. Okay, so for this I can only give hesped. I can start to eulogize what's going to happen to this place. Elila, like Ala Laili, Yalala, Tulashon Kina. El Chosh Sholova Arom. I want to run around. I just want to rip my clothes off and tear my clothes. I want to give a hesped like a jackal. The jackals give hespedim?
Sound like?
Correct. You're supposed to give a hesped. You ever hear a real hesped given? They're like crying. A real hesped is not. Yeah, we don't get hesped today. The hesped it's almost like they're singing. The avel kivnos yanav. You don't see yanav. I think you have an owl. Is that what you're in this translation? We have kivnos yanav. They cry at night.
Yeah, okay. Owls. Yeah.
Eov, a few times in the Sefer, has these two animals in parallel. I mean, what does a jackal have to do with an owl? They both cry out at night. All right? So, that's what he's just saying, that I want this. It sounds like some Sukkim in Yirmiyahu, where that prophet sees what's going to come down in the future, and he says, if only I could cry like these wild animals. Ki anusha makoseha. Anusha is singular, right? It's an unusual thing. Anusha means like I'm sick. Makoseha is in plural. So Rashi explains, ki cholehi bimakoseha kimo v'yeenash. I'm anusha because of my makos. I'm sick because of my makos. That will solve the grammatical inconsistency of this pasuk. Ki ba'ad Yehuda noga ad shara miyad Yerushalayim. All of this is coming right up to Yerushalayim. Okay? What's happening now in pasuk Yud, until the end of this perek, is one of the most clearly defined list of puns in the whole Tanakh, even more than Hosea. Because Hosea did it a pasuk here, a pasuk there throughout his book. Look at what is happening here. It's mamish lashon nofel al lashon. Every city is meant to sound like what's going to happen to the city. Okay? Begat al tagidu. Bechol al tivku. Bevet la'afra. Afar hispaloshti. Right? Now this begat al tagidu is interesting. It sounds like... Where did he say that? Yeah, indeed. He knows his Tanakh, this Micha. What should we not tell in God? Glenn, do you remember?
It was a Shaul.
Right. The death of Shaul, correct. When David sang his eulogy in the beginning of Shmuel Beis, then he said, let the Plishtim, and they love to rejoice over their enemies, so let the Plishtim not hear about what happened to Shaul, because then their daughters will rejoice. Right. So it shows that this is an important thing. When you see one Navi quoting from other Naviim, it shows that they, you know, there was an interaction. They knew perhaps even the texts that they were writing. If not in a final form, then in some kind of form. Okay. Beit La'afar is the name of a place. Ofar his paloshti. Will be filled with ofar. You see, it's like the Pittsburgh will go to the pits. You know what I'm saying? Hivri lochem yosheves shafir er yaboshes. Right? Yosheves shafir. I don't know, there, you know, Beis and Pei, Shin, I'm not sure if this is such a great pun, but go to a place called Shafir, and all you'll see is nakedness and embarrassment. Lo yatsa yosheves tsa'anon. Yatsa tsa'anon, you see that? Tsa'anon means death, but that's the name of a place. Mispad Beis ha'etzel, yikach mikem emdaso. Death will come to tsa'anon, and... the eulogy shall come to a place called Mikem Emdaso. Ki chola, pasuk yud, I'm going to read through all these puns, please. Chola here is like ochila lakel. Chola means to vayichal. Ki chola latov yosheves maros. Pray for the good, you people who live in maros. Ki yorad ra me'es Hashem, l'shar Yerushalayim. And he said, yorad ra, I don't know, maros, I'm not sure what he's doing with this. Evil will come down to the gate of Yerushalayim. Resom hamer kavol rechesh yosheves lachish.
Rechesh
lachish? Yeah, could be.
That's the
race. Rechesh lachish, reishis chatos hi levas tzion kivoch nimtzu pishe Yisrael. Are you familiar with the lachish letters? Yeah. It's not so much for Micha, but for Yirmiyahu. In chapter 34, Yirmiyahu describes the fall of some of the towns in the north. And their fall has been discovered archaeologically. And you see the watchmen trying to communicate with the other watchmen from the other northern cities. So he says, Lachish will be one of the first to fall. Now these are events that will not take place for another 150 years. Mm-hmm. So what Micha is saying is, and this is how we understand Jewish history, is that these things had the potential to happen then, in Micha's time, but because Chizkiyahu was a good king and did tshuva, they were forestalled. Mm. If the Jews had built up enough good points, maybe it would have been wiped, you know, the whole decree would have been wiped out. But they didn't. What happened was, Nebuch, Chizkiyahu's son, just continued in the evil ways of Chizkiyahu's father. Right? Okay. L'chein titni shiluchim al moreshes gas, pasuk yedalad. Go send messengers down to those who live down in Gas. Now, there were still plishtim who lived there. They were not particularly powerful. The plishtim are mentioned in Amos also. Remember, Gat was one of the cities Amos speaks against. They were an annoyance. They cut down our escape routes from Bavel and from Ashur. And Amos makes reference to it. Here's a good pun. Bateach ziv la'achzov. Okay. Achziv la'achzov is disappointment. No, she says, Lashon nofel alashon. Okay. Right? Mamacha Yisrael. Right? Yeah, I mean, that's an easy one to do, right? Okay, what will happen to Minnesota? I don't know. What will happen to Cleveland? Yeah. See, in other words, what Amos has to do is take the cities.
Yeah.
Some cities will be easier to do than other cities, right?
Cleveland will Cleveland to the
next. Something like that.
Is he just trying to pick the city that he can do that with?
Lachora not, because he doesn't do an excellent job with all the others. Achziv is an easy one, right?
Minnesota will be minus its cities.
Ad hayaresh avilach yosheves maresha ad adulam yavo kivod Yisrael. Ad adulam? Yosheves maresha? Yoresh maresha, that's pretty good. Remember, Micha was from Moresha. Yeah. That was his hometown.
Yeah.
Micha HaMorashti.
Right?
I will. The inheritor shall take the. Who's the inheritor? The Assyrians, the Chora, will inherit Moresha. Okay, that's a good pun, because Moresha comes from the word Yoresh, to inherit.
Mm.
Right. Finishes. Perak Karchiba Gozi Al Bnei Tanugoyech Karchivi Karchaseh Chaneser Kigolimimeich. A prophecy made just like by Yirmiyahu of the baldness. Not that I remember Hosea said you'll do it to yourself. Now, it always says, you're not allowed to make korcha over a mace, but there'll be so many other afflictions, your hair will be torn out. Now that is it happened to our previous generation. They shaved their hair off when they brought them into the camps, right? So Micha is saying that one of the things that will happen to you is that they'll shave you. It's interesting, in the Seches Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about the shame of Sancheiriv also in his getting a haircut. There's a great shame in the ancient world of losing your hair, especially your facial hair. Okay, remember they wanted to shame David's men? In Shmuel Bez, remember they said they shaved them? Only they shaved them in a particularly shameful way, remember?
This was the time for Korach.
Yeah. And he made Korach, part of the initiation for the Levium is to shave them all. Okay, but remember, by David, they shaved off half the beards. Remember that story? Just half. They made them grow half a beard on. That's particularly galling. Right? And it means they waited till the other half grew in. I mean, Chacham, the Radak says, why didn't they just shave this half and go home, Right? Because it was such a shanda then to be without facial hair that they couldn't go in. Okay. All right, so let's take a look at Perek Beis. Hoy Chol Shvei Oven Upolei Ra'al Mishkelosam. Woe to people who are just... What a Polei Ra'al Mishkelosam. What do you do during the time that between the time your head hits the pillow and the time you actually fall asleep? Listen to music. What do you do? You think about what you're going to do the next day. You think about what you did this day, right? Reminisce some things. Paul Erol, Mishkevel Sam, he says, all they're thinking about on their beds, right? The Torah says, Pasuk says, Yiranenu al Mishkevel Sam, Mecherev Pifiyos, Yadam, like Gemara Bracha says, you should say Kriya Shema, say Torah before you go to sleep. And they're just thinking or something like that. Why Kiyesh El Yadam? Sounds like our last president, who when he told in his interview, said, why did he do those things? He goes, for the worst reason possible.
How do you know all them or something?
Remember what he said?
Yeah, was it like...
Because I
could.
I could.
Said all them
I could. Go away. Still not safe to watch the news. All right, so
never will be.
So why would he say all of them are bad? He's just like saying that everybody.
Yeah, he's just saying.
How do you know what
they all do? They all do this evil because they can. Yisrael Yadam. It's within their powers just to do these things. There's no restriction. There's no government. Nothing stopping them.
Person,
yeah.
That's the way he writes it.
They just can. There's no system in place that keeps them from doing it. Okay. The chamdusa dos the gazalu batimna sauva shkugever beisovi ishvanaposo. Everyone just has, you know, this is the chamas that Yonah spoke about in Nineveh. We have it worse. Think of Achav, chamdusa dos the gazalu. Gemara says that this refers to Achav. Remember, he looked at a vineyard of a subject of his, and he just wanted it, and his wife arranged for him to get it. I must tell you that you know in Bavel they had different Baal gods that were in charge of different parts of nature, right? The sun Baal, the moon Baal, the cloud Baal, and different. You know, Hoshea refers to these Baal, right? That's why he says, "You will not refer to me as your Baali; you refer to me as your Ishi." Right? The chief Baal god, get this, like he can't make this up, was called Baal Hamod. Baal Hamod, the chief Baal god at the time of Achav, and the Chidonites worshipped them. That's why Achav's wife tells him, "You think you're a king? You call yourself a king?" She says, "You're a king, and you desire a subject's vineyard, and you're sick over it. Take it." She was just being a good Canaanite. The chief Baal to them is a Baal that desires and gets, and if you're too weak to get it, then stop desiring it. Hamod, let go, Tachmod.
Hamod.
Right? The Chamdus Sadot, the Gozol, means that the Jews were behaving like Canaanites here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sorry, Babylonians. The Ashku Geber Beisovi Ishvanachlaso. So Amicha speaks just about all the social decay and disorder as Amos did. Remember what Amos said back in Paragimel? I don't know about how to do that. Right? Shmuel said, "Bar Asher, Asher Diber Hashem Aleichem Bnei Yisrael, Al Kol Mishpacha Asher Aleichem Meretz Mitzrayim L'mor." You know, these prophets refer to us as a family. See it? Right? Asher Lo Tamishu Bisham Tavar Seichem V'lo Telchu L'Amaki Yisrael. Their necks are open. You know what that means. Okay, let's read Pasuk Dalid. Dalit, please continue. Okay, not such easy words here, but they will consider you a mashal, like it says in Dvarim in the Tochacha. And they shall be like a mashal, a shnina, like the people who use us as an example. This is what happens to be blank, blank, blank. V'noho nehi nehiyo. I hope that your English has the right interpretation of this. You know what nehi? Lamdeha b'nosechem nehi. Teach your daughters nehi, Yirmiyahu says. At the end of Moed Katan it mentions this. Teach your daughters nehi, because nehi will always be in high demand. If you want your daughters to have a job, teach them to be nehi. What does that mean?
Mourners?
Mourners, right. There'll be so much mourning going on. They'll be needing people to be criers. Because there won't be enough criers. That's the Lashon here. Okay, noho nehi nehiya. It could be that nehiya means is Lashon to be. And that noho nehi is part of, you know, a Michaism, which is a pun. Right, we haven't seen enough of this in Hoshea. We're getting plenty more in Micha. Right, Shadod Nushadnu. We've been despoiled. Chelak Ami Yamir. These changed from them. Ech Yamishli L'Shavev Sadenu Yichalek. You'll see that the people, foreigners, are going to come in and just take your stuff. I did Zach Prensky's mother passed away. I did a funeral. His father was in Germany. In Poland when the Nazis, Machshimam, they came. And he said that his grandfather was died a week before the end of August in 1939. Mm. And it was a very long procession. He was a little boy at the time, and he couldn't walk, so he rode on his bicycle in the back of the procession. And when his father found out that he thought it was insolent of him to to be in the procession of a rabbi on a bicycle. So his father took away the bicycle. And he said it didn't matter because a week later the Germans took it away. So I wasn't going to hold on to that bicycle for too long. The point that Micha is making is like the point in the Tzolchacha, is that enemies are coming and they're going to take away everything of yours. They're going to go up to right up to your house and say, okay, we'll take that, we'll take the field. There will not be any among you who will be mashlich chevel begorol. Now, if you recall when we did Perek Hay in Hosea, remember I told you that this book is filled with metaphors that you can't understand because they're idiomatic to that time in history? You know what I'm saying? If I'd say make no bones about it, you all know what I mean, right? But if I was speaking to an Israeli and I said, Al tase atzamot mizeh, what does that mean? Give me a break. What is that going to mean to someone who doesn't speak the language? Right? So now what they do in Israel is because they love everything American, so they take American sayings and they translate it into Hebrew. But it makes no sense. And it's idiomatic to the particular language. I have a book at home that gives like 10,000 of these sayings and where it came from. Like to be in the limelight. What is that? Right? So it says where all these things come from. But it only makes sense in that language. And it makes sense in that framework. Maybe only for 100 years. And then you don't understand why it ever got that name to begin with afterwards. It just sticks. Right? So, a lot of statements in Hosea. Remember he says, you're committing adultery like a baker. How does a baker commit adultery? Mm-hmm. Right. So we said, all right, there's a pun from Niuf and Ofer, right? But here he's saying here that we will not have any mashlich chevel begorol. So this actually relates back to, remember Amos was measuring out the city with his chevel. Don't know, say chevel, one of those visions at the end of the book. Zechariah also measures out Yerushalayim with a chevel. So it could be that. In other words, the chevel there is for a good sign. You know, you're measuring out the borders of the city to give boundaries. So here, there will not be anyone like that in the Kehillah. Alta tifu yatifun. Put the bottom reading. Glenn, would you like to?
Alta tifu yatifun, lo yatifun
kehillah. Now, Rashi quotes the Targum, Alt navu lo chichem. It means that this is expressing what the people are saying. That no one wants you to say these things. Of course not. Who wants to hear this? No one wants to hear criticism. No one wants to hear, even if it's constructive. No one wants to hear this. Right? Lo yisag klimos. They have no hashoga of what shame is coming to them if they don't hear these words. Right? Okay. Limor, would you read Zion? More? An unusual unusual nekuda under the hay. Usually he is before a ayin, he horim or a hay, right? Or a ches, he choson. But if under an aleph it should be ha amur. I get very annoyed when I hear the chazan say kadavar he amur b'shirei zecha ayidav m'shechetech. It's kadavar ha amur. Right, but if anyone ever does say hey or more, at least you can say hey, Micha said it. There it is. Right, but it really should be ha or more grammatically. Right, how more base Yaakov hakatzar ruach Hashem yemeilam alalav halod dvarai yetivu imayeshar holeich. I see what you're saying. Base Yaakov is saying that these things aren't going to come to fruition. Right, does God make? Would God do this to his prios? You see, this represents. Yirmiyahu mentioned this also in his book as a sign that when he predicted the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the people said, "Go on! There's no way that God destroys his own Beis Hamikdash." You see, if you were a Moabite and the Ammonites just destroyed your temple, what is that a sign of?
That God is stronger than
the Ammonite God is now stronger than the Moabite God. Now it's time to worship the Ammonite God. But the Jews knew that their God was the true God, which makes things worse, by the way. But they knew that your God was the true God, and they said, there's no other God who's as strong as our God, so how can another nation destroy our temple? God, you don't want your temple to be destroyed. So don't let it. You're the one who took us out of Egypt. What you did to the Egyptians, do to the Babylonians. And God says, in view of your behavior, this is not my temple. It's a den of iniquity. Right? So Yirmiyahu told him this. And Yirmiyahu said, that's ridiculous. God who saved us from the Egyptians will save us from the Babylonians. And Yirmiyahu says, oh yeah, remember Shiloh? And you know why he brings in Shiloh in chapter 26. Remember Shiloh? And when Shmuel was told about Shiloh, God came to him during the night and he said, when anybody hears this story, their ears will tingle. Why? Shiloh wasn't the first temple destroyed, and it's not going to be the last temple destroyed. What makes your ear tingle over the story of Shiloh? The answer? Because it's God telling Shmuel, because then my temple is going to be destroyed, and I want it destroyed. That doesn't exist. And I know, we know that God's the only God, but in all ancient deities, no one nation explains the destruction of their temple in terms of their God wanting that to happen. It happens because we're not offering enough sacrifices and our God got weak and therefore our God was overcome by another God. That's how they explain it. Clore? Alright? Okay, so the Esmul Amila Oyevikome Mimul Salmo Eder Tafshitun Me Ovrim Betach Shuve Milchama. Difficult pasuk, but once we rip this pasuk apart, and once we dissect it, it's really quite easy to understand. Okay, that so he says that this mikra mechubar l'shamala. Rashi says, right? Ani tov u'meitiv. I am good, and I only do good, right? But I have to tell you, this mul. Rashi says is es mul asher l'mulo u'ba'avro imi osi yekomem l'oyev lo. He says that I am only using this Oyev to do my bidding. It's not that, how is this Oyev being so strong? This Oyev is doing my bidding. In fact, get this, if you can understand such a thing, Yirmiyahu refers to Nebuchadnezzar in his book a number of times, hold on to your seats, as Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. Komar Hashem Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. Or in Yishayahu, Komar Hashem L'mishicho L'koresh. Different ways of reading that, but you see that Hashem used it in many purposes to various leaders, right? Pasuk in Mishlei says that Hashem just uses the kings of the world as his pawns, right? Neshe ami tigorshun mi beis ta'anugeha me'ala olaleha tikhu hadari le'olam. Alright, now Micha is picking up on something that Amos did. Remember, Amos was much more, or much less diplomatic, let's say. Right? Remember, Amos had a job.
He had a day job.
So Amos was a bolei shikmim. He was a nokade. He had a job, so he was a boker, and he could say whatever he wanted. So he lashed it into the women. Remember the Paros HaBashan? Drinking from their big goblets and give us more to drink, and convincing their masters that they have to commit more crimes so that they can afford bigger houses and more jewelry. And Yishayahu and Perek Gimel with his rampant diatribes against the women. So here it just says the women will be cast from their, they won't have their ta'anugim, right? And they'll be taken, right? Me'al olaleha. Now olaleha can mean here they're young ones. They'll be separated from the young ones. Bavur tam'ah techabel v'chevel mimrat. Right? So, this is the... the women were involved in the same tumah as the men, obviously. So this Chabalah will come to you. Right? Plus a Gedalot. How about if we continue now? Limor, did you read before you were ready?
No.
Okay. Gedalot.
Okay.
Okay. What he's saying is, now this by the way ends his bad nevuah. Right? In Pasuk Beis, you'll see he changes tune just dramatically. But what he's saying is, Lui Sholech Ruach, if only the man could go with the spirit. You despise the Nevi'im who are real, right? And instead, what do you pursue? Sheker Kizev. Right? You're looking after people who get drunk and in drunken stupors appear to be giving nevuah. That's what you're looking after. You don't want the real Nevi'im who can give you good advice of how you can change your ways. These people are just telling the people what they want to hear. Right? They're kissing up to the people. Alright? Now he ends this up, and he doesn't even connect it really directly, because now he just turns it all around. Asof Esof Yaakov Kulach Kabeitza Kabeit Sheris Yisrael Yachar Asimenu Kitzon Batsroke Eder Besoch Adavro Tihimena Me'adam. Now the fact is that Yirmiyahu uses this exact lashon, Asof Asifem, for something bad. I will make an end to them. Right? That's not what this means. Asof Esof means I will gather them, I will collect them, I'll bring them in. So Rashi says this is a good nevuah. Okay, same words in Yirmiyahu, bad nevuah. Here he's using it as a good nevuah. Of course, Micha's first. All right, I will gather Hoshea's Israel. Remember back in Hoshea Perek Beis. Remember Hoshea said something similar. Right, v'nikbetzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdo v'smulam rosh echad v'alumina aretz kigadol yom Yisrael. There too, most Mefarshim say that's a good nevuah. Remember, Ibn Ezra was the lone commentary who saw bad nevuah there. Okay. Okay. All right. So I'll gather all the people together like a flock within its dabar and its enclosed by its leader. Tihimena me'adam. Tihimena means like mehuma. Mehuma is like a confusion. Allah parates lifneim, partsu v'yavoru shar v'yetsu bo v'yavor malkam lifneim v'ashem berusham. Now, here Allah parates. What's a parates? Moshiam parates k'deirot. Now Rashi says that this parates refers to Moshiach. We say in the Chadodi al yad ish ben
Parsi.
Now that is obviously because Moshiach is descended from Peretz, right? Yehuda had two sons, Peretz and Zerach, and the line of David goes to Peretz. Ela told us Peretz, those Peretz only is it, and it goes down to David at the end of Yisrus. But what Rashi wants to say is that it's connected to that lashon and the Mishnah in the Sechah Sanhedrin, that the king has to be poreitz geder. Now it's not a very Jewish kind of attitude, you know, to be poreitz geder and just to take what you want. That's what these Canaanites were doing. This Baal Hamod. So you can perhaps answer that, you know, that look, David does have some background in him from Moab, you know, from there's a genealogy there that has a little preces, if you will. What is a tsenua? Is something that's hidden, it's covered, lahatsnia, perikamatsnia, right? So poros is spread out, bursting out. You have to see what I'm wearing. You have to see what I'm dressing. You have to see what I'm listening to. You have to hear what I'm listening to. You have to listen to my voice. You have to smell what I'm wearing. You have to smell my cigarette smoke. That's a parutz. It's a parrot. Right? Okay. So here he's speaking of this parutz. It's very interesting to refer to Mashiach as a parutz, right? And for the reasons I just gave. And God is at their head. Okay, let's try to close out this nevuah with a quick reading of Perek Gimel. Va'omar Shimon Rashi Yaakov uketine beis Yisrael. Halo lachem ladas es hamishpat. Listen up, you guys. You have to hear this. Stan, pasuk beis. Sonei tov.
Sonei tov. Ohave ra. Godel oram me'al
ma'alehem.
Us oram me'al atzmota.
Okay, now Sonei Tov Ohavei Sonei Tov Ohavei Ra means that you're so perverted. I mean, it's one thing to be a Sonei Tov and a Sonei Ra, or an Ohev Tov and an Ohev Ra. It's like everything, you know. But these, it's like we know with Nishayahu, the people who say Matok, Mar, or Mar Matok, right? Remember, people they go out of their way. It's like Hosea's Uga Bali Hafucha. Remember that, the cake that's not turned. It's burnt on one side and raw on the other side. There's no rhyme and reason to anything. There's no moderation. Everything is, you go. It shows hypocrisy. Okay. I would compare it to the UN getting energized every time someone, a Jew, puts a shovel to ground somewhere in Yehudah and Shomron, but they will be silent forever as far more egregious violations of human rights or property rights are going on everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Right? So how can you hear? Let's hear it. Let's hear what you have to say. But why don't you be consistent in your denouncing the same kind of behavior elsewhere. Right, so Gozlei Oram Me'aleihem is, imagine how bad they are. They are stealing the skin off people's bodies. Now, I cannot believe that that's exactly what's happening. But the prophet is just, using, let's say, the Lashon Shakespeare kind of pound of flesh kind of thing, Sheerum. Now, Sheer, according to Rashbam, means again flesh. Right? So he's from their bones. Okay. Machlokes is what Sheer means in the Gemara in Ksuvos Kedushin, but it means
Sheer.
Right. Sheerum, Karovi Lav. Right.
Does it have anything to do with what Nasi said?
I can't Micha, I'm sure he couldn't fathom such a violation of humanity, but I think he's just being metaphorical. He's just killing the skin off their bones. It could be a whole, okay, Vasher achlu she'er amiva oram me'alehem yifshitu ves atmoseem pitzechu uforsuka asher basir ukbasor besof kalachas. And I know, Stanley, look what you're saying here. They're boiling them in pots. They're boiling flesh. Mm. Human flesh. I mean, there is a story in Melachim Beis. There is a story about two women who go to court. Remember the story? That one woman takes another woman to court. She says, take the king, and says, that we were so hungry that yesterday we boiled my son. Right, because we said we're so starving, we have to eat something. So we decided that we'll boil our children, and we took lots. Well, who was going to boil first? So the lot fell on me. So we boiled my son. We ate him yesterday, and now she's hiding her son. I want to eat her son. We ate my son yesterday. So now I'm hungry. I want to eat her son. And that they took that case to the Beis Din. This is a story in the Tanakh. I'm not talking about a Medrash here. Stories like this you'll find in the Midrash. That's a story in the Tanakh. Okay.
Whose kingship was that under?
Under Horam ben Achov.
Okay. You said before about saying, you say that's my political, before you said about parts, no skin off my back.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly, metaphorical.
No skin off my back,
so you're going to say what you did. And if I do this, I am taking skin off your back. Right, the skin of your teeth, absolutely. No doubt that is how this metaphor is being used. Mm-hmm. And it shows that some metaphors that even come into our time have similarities to what's going on there. Oz yizaku el Hashem. Then when those things start to happen, then you'll cry out to Hashem. Lo yaneu samen. You know what? He's not answering then. V'yaster panov mehem ba'isahi kasher heireu malalehem. And then his face will be hidden from you. Okay? I take you back again to the people who were in Dachau. They said that the Frum Jews were talking, how could man do this? What did we do to deserve this? And the Reform Jews were all saying, how could God do this? Remember, Has ki lo lazkir b'shem Hashem. Remember back in Amos, where Amos said, now is not the time to talk about God. Right? What do you mean? We're burning human flesh here. We're trying to forestall disease by burning the flesh, and you say we shouldn't talk about God. Well, you didn't talk about God before. You want to talk about God now, right? So Hashem is taking issue with these neviim who just kiss up to the people, tell the people what they want to hear. Hanoshchim b'shineihem, the karu shalom, they're biting with their teeth and they say shalom. Oh, this exactly sounds like Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Remember there, what's the Nevi'im's famous refrain in those two books? Shalom, shalom, ain shalom. They keep saying peace, peace. I tell you, there is no peace. They're saying, in other words, peace, peace is again a metaphor that everything is peaceful. Don't worry, everything you're doing is fine, right? And I tell you, it's not so fine. V'asher lo yitein al piyem v'kitshu alav milchama. You know what? Because no one, you're not saying the right things. All you're doing is you're preparing for war. I mean, his pasuk is scary. For, what would you say is, historically speaking, the first act of World War II? When was World War II declared?
When Hitler marched into the Rhineland.
I say it happened before then. Based on the pasuk in Kohelet, Ace Shalom v'Ace Milchama. World War II started when Chamberlain said we will have peace in our time. That was the beginning of World War II. I'm of course saying this with an explanation of his pasuk. He says, you are inviting war by saying everything is okay. Okay. And on Chamberlain's deathbed, he said, everything would have been okay. Anyone know the famous quote? If only Hitler kept his word.
Yeah. He walked out of the airplane in London. He waved a piece of paper that Hitler signed. He said,
"I have it." The white paper, the piece of our time.
Yeah, he waved. I have a signed document here from Herr Hitler. He signed.
Yeah.
That was
beautiful. Right. We've had some of those since then too.
Mm-hmm.
Various places. Okay. Uboshu achozim v'chofru hakosnim v'otu al safam kulam ki ein ma'ane elokim. So these chozim and kosmim, these magicians, these are Jews who are just driving you astray, right? They're going to have mourning on their faces, right? I'm just going to finish pasuk ches because that's an end of an inyan. V'ulam anochim aleisi koach esruach Hashem u'mishpatu gvura l'hagid li'yakov pisho l'yisrael chatasau. Let me tell you something. The one with the power to do something about all this, he's going to have his last say. Now God, it's amazing, God has the power to make himself powerless. Because many so says, God, where's your power? You could do something about this. Why don't you do something? Okay, I'll make a terrible snowstorm. I'll make the worst winter of the 20th century in 1941 in the Soviet Union, so that this war on Leningrad will not go the way the Nazis want, and that'll basically end it. Right? But if the Nazis had they gone into England first, they say whatever it is. But weather could have turned the course of World War II. And you can say that other things could have turned it too. And there are lots of other things that could have happened one way or the other. I'm not Navi, and I'm not sort of pretend to play God here. But Micha is talking this way, and he is a Navi. I'm just using examples to, you know, for our time that fit what he's saying. Right? I think this is the place to stop with Perikimo Pasuk Tess. Right? And I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Micha is on page 10, 11 and 12. Look at the Gemara that I have translated to at the bottom of page 13. Well, it's a pretty easy assignment. Just read that story at the bottom of page 13. And I'm surprised I didn't put it in here. I thought it was in here. And read, please, Yirmiyahu chapter 26. Yirmiyahu chapter 26. Okay, there'll be a written exam next week. Okay. So I have these sources for you, please, if you didn't get one, avail yourself of one. And so Yirmiyahu chapter 26. You're not going to really get the whole thing until you read the very end, but make your way through it, okay? You can do it in English if you need. It's easy reading. It's really easy reading. Okay? So do that, please. And I'll see you next week, Mr.
Thank you so much. Thanks
for coming, everybody.
I'm okay.
Can you meow?
I do.
I can tell you how many years. I may have a balloon. All right, guys, we have to make our way into Sukkah, please.